Bridge going south. The right lane is blocked there. A broken down car slowing traffic down on 295 south on the ramp to Beach Boulevard on the East Beltway. There's been an accident. And I-10 east in Cassett, traffic is slow. Sunny today with the high of 69. This evening, clear and cold. Overnight, the low 38. Right now, it's 57 here at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. This week, the Times Union goes after Mayor Lenny Curry on violent crime in Jacksonville. The debate over where hard liquor can be sold in Florida is back on the table again. And Democrats in Congress are proposing a new Green Deal.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email Ed at WBOB.com.
Good morning. It is the 7 a.m. hour. I'm your host, Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, the three fastest hours anywhere in morning talk radio. Doesn't matter, Roger. They don't have to agree with me, you, whatever, but I do love hearing the opinions from the listeners out there at 222-TALK, 222-8255, the email address, Ed, at WBOB.com. This past week, the Times Union ripped into Mayor Lenny Curry and somewhat ripped into Sheriff Mike Williams for saying that they haven't done enough about crime, how that Lenny Curry went after Alvin Brown, but yet crime overall underneath Mayor Lenny Curry's tour or the tenure of his mayorship, crime has gone up. Here from that latest news story, News 4 Jax, Jim Pickett.
Continues, a survey by the Florida Times Union concludes violent crime here in Jacksonville has become worse in the past 3 years since Sheriff Mike Williams and Mayor Lenny Curry took office.
On Sunday, the Florida Times Union published this article taking aim at the sheriff and the mayor, saying despite spending more money, violent crime is increasing based on the latest numbers from the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. Here at News 4 Jax, we track homicides and murders as well. And our numbers show that murders are actually down this year. In 2014, the last year that Mayor Alvin Brown was in office, there were 93 murders. In 2015, Mayor Curry and Sheriff Williams' first year, 96 murders. In 2016, that went up to 108. Last year, another increase of 118 murders. So far this year, with 1 month left, 91.
Maybe it's how you spin it out there. For those of you that are listening, you got major crime down in South Florida. You got major crime in Pine Hills in Orlando. Mm-hmm. One of the things that really some would say knocked out Andrew Gillum was because Tallahassee had a major crime, murders more than any other part in the state of Florida. Some people are emailing me going, well, Ed, if you Republicans went after Andrew Gillum, he should take responsibility for the high crime in Tallahassee. And then yet not hold Lenny Curry's feet to the fire. You guys owe Andrew Gillum. That's some of the emails I'm getting. You owe Andrew Gillum an apology.
You know what? I think the only argument that Mayor Curry is probably going to have, because he campaigned on the fact that he thought that Alvin Brown wasn't doing enough on crime, he can at least say he was trying to do something where Alvin
Brown... We're all trying to do something, yeah. Roger, okay? I mean, hey, I may be trying to do this, but the question is how do you do it? But now, there are those out there from the listeners that would sit back and say, wait a second, now... Are they fudging the numbers? Is the glass full or glass half empty? Because over the 10 years so far, crime is up. Violent crime is up. This year, it is down. All right? So, but you look at the overall view and the overall specs, is that's where we're going with this, some would say.
We've watched as the mayor and sheriff budgeted more money and began a series of programs to fight crime. The sheriff's department makes up about 36% of the city budget, more than any other department.
So let me, for those of you out there that are listening, Roger has said that the normal individual, you out there listening, would sit back and say, hey, listen, Roger, everybody knows that the mayor is not responsible for the high amount of crime. Is that what you're saying? What is it you said earlier?
Earlier, I said, you know, I didn't think there was a whole lot that any political official can do to stop it in advance. If the person, the criminal, has in their heart they're going to do something wrong, they can maybe show up afterwards and prosecute them.
Was Mayor Lenny Curry right and just to go after Alvin Brown then when it came to high crime? I mean, look at what happened in Chicago. Mayor Giuliani was able to get crime down. The one individual, who knows, but the overall, but there is a name that the Times Union has been thrown into the mix that no one has mentioned about the reason why we're not doing enough about going after the criminals here. Who is that person? I know who it is. Who is that person? 222-TALK, 904-222-8255. The polls show that crime is a major, major issue and the city of Jacksonville. If you're Anna Brashe and you're looking at announcing a running against Marilyn Curry and you see this article out there, I wonder if it emboldens her to run.
Probably does, yes.
And does she have an issue? 222-TALK, 222-8255. I want to hear from you because you guys are the analysis. All right? I just report the news, so does Roger. If crime is a problem in Jacksonville, who's to blame? I understand two-parent family, single. I get all that. I get it. I'm talking about current tense. How do you deal with it right now? 222-TALK, 222-8255. And if the mayor, again, I'm asking the question. I am not taking a position on this. I could. But it's your voice that counts. If Andrew Gillum was thrown under the bus for the high crime and the high murder rates in Tallahassee, then does the mayor, the Republican mayor in Jacksonville, does he get to be part of that blame as well? Because if you're going to go after Gillum, can you not go after Lenny Curry?
It would seem fair, yeah.
I'm absolutely. Just asking a question. Want to hear what you think. Love to hear the spin. 222-TALK, 222-8255. Joe, good morning. You're on WVOB. What's going on?
Yeah, good morning, Ed.
Hey, can you turn on that radio, Joe, so I can hear you?
Sure.
Thanks, brother.
Yeah, well, you know, this is the thing. Is Curry running for governor?
Not yet.
Okay. Well, Gillum was running for governor, and, you know, if the crime rate is up in Tallahassee, and now he wants to take over, you know, the governor's seat, you know, his inability to control the crime rate in Tallahassee, you know, I mean, that's a chink in his platform. And being that his, I guess it was, what is his chief of staff running for mayor in Tallahassee now?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, his platform was, I'm going to reduce crime in Tallahassee. You know, so I don't think Gillum deserves an apology.
All right, let me ask this. Let me play devil's advocate. Now, you bring up a valid point. Let's play devil's advocate here. Just have a little fun here. Then, because Andrew Gillum said that crime was down in his last year, but if we're going to blame him that he shouldn't be governor because of crime in his city, does that mean if he has governor, he gets to blame if crime is up in other parts of the state?
Well, the chief of police of every city takes his marching orders from the mayor. Would that be a correct assumption on my part?
That's pretty good analysis, I think. Then you get something, don't you know, I think, but, you know.
So, you know, I mean, you know, if people want to criticize Mayor Curry, that's fine. I mean, the crime is up last 2 years, not this last year. I guess murders are down.
Right.
You know, and I mean, there's only so much the police can do. However, once again, I don't think that Gillum deserved, you know, to say that Gillum deserves an apology, you know, I mean, that's...
Well, hold on. I'm just asking a question. I'm not saying he is, but I'm saying the emails I've already gotten here from listeners. Then how do you differentiate between crime going up in Jacksonville under Republican and then going after Gillum? And then again, that's the reason why he shouldn't become governor out there. I mean, are we not mixing apples and oranges?
Well, that's what I think it is, apples and oranges. One guy is running for a higher office. The other guy is just...
Okay, hold on. Okay, wait. What if Lenny Curry wanted to run for agriculture commissioner?
Well, you know, I mean, look, then he's in charge of tomatoes. He's not in charge of murders.
Do you believe it was fair when Lenny Curry criticized Alvin Brown for the high crime rate
question.
In Jacksonville, and then he ended up having a higher crime rate himself?
Well, of course, you know, look, a politician is a politician, and he's going to use whatever he can to get elected. And, I mean, sure, he criticized Alvin Brown.
So he was manipulating the voters?
Well, no, but I think, you know, you get in the driver's seat, and, you know, how do you stop somebody from committing a murder?
Well, wait a second. Now you're making the excuse for Andrew Gillum.
No, I'm not. I'm not. Curry's not running for governor.
Not yet. He wants to run for governor. He wants to, which is fine. I like the mayor. He wants to run for governor.
No, well, you know what? He's. I think Ron DeSantis, our governor-elect, is going to do a fine job, and I think he'll be in that seat for 8 years. So,
All right. It's good to talk to you, Joe. Roger, thank you for backing me up on this. Guys, I'm not accusing the mayor. I'm asking the questions. You guys, you out there listening, are the experts. The question is, that. It doesn't matter if you run for a higher office, because if you're going to sit back and say, well, Gillum was going to run for the state, does that mean that Governor Rick Scott gets the blame that happened in Parkland, Florida this past year then? Because that's the argument you're using.
Yeah.
When they dropped the ball again in Broward County, they have another story that's going to come out about how another deputy dropped the ball down there for the Parkland shooting. Let's go to Lawrence. Lawrence, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Well, in defense of Andrew Gillum, which, you know, I find myself hard to say that, you know, he was just ceremonial, really, as a mayor. He didn't have a whole lot of real power, you know, not like Curry does. But here's the situation with the difference between Brown and Curry. Curry's actually trying to bring some things in. I think crime, like a lot of stuff, the economy and all of that, is cyclical, where you're going to have these peaks and flows. And I think that Curry has been real proactive, you know, trying to bring in policies and new technologies and things like that to help reduce crime, and some of the programs that they're trying to do. Everything I don't agree with, but a lot of it I do. And I think that he's, you know, trying to make a real positive impact on trying to stop crime, where Brown, all he wanted was photo ops.
Now, that is a fair assumption right there, Lawrence, that some would say the difference between Alvin Brown and Marilyn Curry is the mayor's actually out there trying to do something instead of paying lip service. That's what you're saying, correct?
Yes, that's it.
Okay, because the Times Union also states, I'm trying to read it here, they state that even the last couple of years under Alvin Brown, crime was dropping.
Yeah, I think, like I said, I think it's a cyclical thing. You know, we're going to have some issues with gangs and things like that where there's going to be some turf wars and stuff like that, so you might have some peaks, and then those things will quiet down. There'll be some valleys. So I think right now we're at a little bit of a peak, and it's starting to come down a little bit, but a lot of that, I think, will be more positive under Curry, in that in the next couple of years, you're going to see all this new technology and things that he's trying to do help out a lot.
All right. Hey, Lawrence, have a good day. Hey, Lawrence, shoot me an email. I got something I want to throw by you, okay?
Okay.
All right, good to talk to you. You know what we need? We need the Minority Report with Tom Cruise. That way we can prevent all this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you never saw the movie, did you?
No.
I need to make, man, watching, you need to get out, dude.
Watching, well, you know, there's Netflix. I can look at that. Is it on Netflix?
I don't know. I have Netflix. I don't even use it. 14 minutes after the hour, talk radio, WBOB.
On 295 South Beach Boulevard, there has been an accident. We do see some backup there on the traffic cams and I-10 going toward downtown. Look out for backup beginning at Cassett Avenue. Traffic is being brought to you by Snyder Heating and Air Conditioning.
With all the hustle and bustle of Christmas shopping and party planning, it's sometimes easy to forget what the true meaning of Christmas is. Well, the Boger family at Boger Shoes would like to remind everyone what the Christmas season is all about. Christmas is about the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ, who was born to Mary and Joseph in a lowly manger in Bethlehem. There were no office parties, no Christmas trees, just the arrival of three kings that brought gifts and knelt beside this manger occupied by the Savior of our world. When you think about Christmas this year, please reflect on why this holiday is so significant. Since 1957, Boger Shoes has been providing orthopedic and diabetic shoes for thousands of customers in Northeast Florida. And Boger Shoes offers free evaluations and fittings by three board-certified podiatrists on staff. Good old-fashioned customer service has been the key to Boger Shoes' success since 1957. So stop by 1014 Park Street in Five Points and experience the Boger's difference. Boger Shoes, the answer for hurting feet. And Merry Christmas from everyone at Boger Shoes.
If you're like most people and you see two gas stations and one sells gas for a little bit less, you go to that one. It just makes sense. Every little bit helps. But here's what's weird, though. Sometimes we save a few pennies here and there and ignore opportunities to save huge money, life-changing money. If you switch to MediShare for your health care, it could be massive savings for you. The typical savings for a family is $500 a month. Think what you could do with that over time. Just doing the math, that's $6,000 a year. That is significant. And yes, people love it, and they love it because it works. It's believers who share each other's healthcare costs. More than 400,000 people are now members of MediShare, and it's growing like crazy. Find out how much you could save and why MediShare is so popular. Go to MediShare.com or call 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. MediShare.com or 877-64-BIBLE.
Tico Sports presents the Spanish broadcast of the Jacksonville Jaguars. All season long, don't miss any of the games of the Jaguars 2018 season on WBOB 101.1 FM and 600 AM. Listen to the broadcast of the Jacksonville Jaguars in Espanol.
This Thursday, the Jacksonville Jaguars will face the Tennessee Titans. Tune in at 8.05 p.m.
Don't miss all the action brought to you by Tico Sports with the voices of Javier Carrero and Victor Cora.
I'm State Senator Aaron Bean, and I approve this message to say thank you for your support. It is a great honor to serve you in the Florida Senate. If you have a thought or an idea on state government, let me hear from you. Aaron at AaronBean.com. Paid for and approved by Aaron Bean, Republican for State Senate.
It'll be a sunny day, a high of 69. This evening, it's going to get cold. Overnight, the low 38. Right now, it's 57 here at WBOB.
Laura Ingram, next at 9. Now back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on Talk Radio AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. The debate over where hard liquor can be sold in Florida is back on the table again. Democrats in Congress are proposing a new Green Deal. And this week, the Times Union goes after Mayor Lenny Curry on violent crime in Jacksonville.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed@wbob.com.
Throughout tomorrow, as you know, there'll be several ceremonies in Washington, D.C. President Trump will be attending, of course, with many well-known guests and elected leaders around the world and former elected leaders around the world to pay homage to Bush 41. But the media could not wait to somehow talk about the differences between 41, who was a very nice guy, and then that of President Trump, who's also a nice guy. But it was the demeanors and how this discussion came up. Wait till you hear this spat. This is the best one, I think, Roger, we've had all year.
Girl fight.
Joy Behar from The View was talking about, well, you know, again, this was about Bush 41 now. She wanted to make it all about President Trump and then how Bush 41's, the Clean Air Water Act, which is not a good bill, by the way. I'll explain that sometime if you want to know why. But it's not a good environmental bill because there's more, it kind of makes it that any property the federal government could deem as a wetland. In other words, you walk outside, all the rain we got yesterday could be a wetland. You let local municipalities in the state do that, not the federal government. But overall, it was going to put more regulation on small businesses out there and air pollution and things of that nature. So she wanted to mix President Trump into this with 41, but trying to talk about how he was going to unravel all the Bush-Obama policies. And Meghan McCain, who's not really a big Donald Trump fan, said, hey, wait, just stop it, okay? This is more about Bush 41. This is kind of an interesting spat.
That was not picked up, really, because as a candidate, he said, those who think we're powerless to do anything about the greenhouse effect are forgetting about the White House effect. And then he signed into law the Clean Air Act Amendment of 1990, one of the most sweeping environmental statutes ever.
Yeah.
This president that we have now is trying to unravel everything that he did and Obama did. And if I ever become a one-issue voter, it will be about...
Okay, so... This is where it all kicked off. Again, trying to equivalate Bush with Trump when it should be paying homage to President Bush.
Obama did. And if I ever become a one-issue voter, it will be about pollution and the greenhouse effect and
the
fact
that... Can we focus on the president, please? I don't want to talk about Trump. We're honoring a great president
in his past. Excuse me a second, please. I want to talk about the difference...
Honoring, but I'm not interested in your one-issue voter.
I don't care what you're interested in. I'm talking.
Well, I don't care
you're interested in
either.
I don't care what you're interested in, Roger. I'm interested. I don't care what you're ordering. I want to order this. I mean, folks, this is the movie Mean Girls, which is a good movie, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the movie Mean Girls. It's like, well, it doesn't matter what you say. It's what I mean. It's bad. I know you are, but what am I?
And Whoopi Goldberg's trying to, you know, bring calm. We'll be right back after this.
Listen to how Yahoo News covered this.
On The View, while the panel was discussing the passing of President George H.W. Bush, Joy Behar wanted to compare the good he did for the environment and climate change to the bad that the current president is doing. But Meghan McCain wasn't having it. Twitter wasn't happy with Meghan's interruption either, with comments like, somebody tell Meghan the show is called The View pouring in. And since it appeared the arguing continued well into the break, one viewer said, I'm low-key mad Whoopi went to commercial so fast.
One-issue voter. It will be about...
Whoopi went to commercials so fast.
Pollution and the greenhouse effect. And
Could
the
we
fact
focus
that,
on the president, yeah. please? Please. I don't want to talk about Trump. We're honoring a great president.
Excuse me a second, please. I want to talk about the difference.
Honoring, but I'm not interested in your one issue.
I don't care what you're interested in. I'm talking.
I don't care what you're interested in either.
We'll be right back.
Okay? You're offended by Republicans, so all Republicans probably and everywhere. Offended by me sitting here.
I'm offended by a party that backs a racist.
You know, it's kind of like having the auto mechanic trying to tell you what is wrong with your semi when he only has, you know, I mean, to work on a car out there. In other words, his expertise is to work on that vehicle.
Exactly.
All right. And what do you like, Meghan McCain? I think Meghan McCain's okay. She's defended Sarah Palin in many cases when they threw Palin under the bus. But, I mean, Joy Behar, I mean, remember, this is the same Joy Behar. I wonder if I got that clip. This is the same Joy Behar who sat back and said the reason why Republicans won statewide in some of these Senate seats was because of redistricting.
Yeah.
You don't redistrict a whole state. Everybody
exactly.
votes.
It's amazing what they don't know.
222-TALK, 222-8255, TALK Radio, WBOB.
On I-295 South on the East Beltway, Beach Boulevard exit, there has been an accident. 95 South, just after US 1, a broken down car. And if you're on I-10 West at Cecil Commerce Parkway, we see a truck that's off to the side. Traffic is being brought to you by Schneider Heating and Air.
This is your Money Minute. I'm Steve Siddall. Since the decline of pensions and the rise in 401k plans, saving for retirement has fallen firmly on the shoulders of the average American worker. We continue to sock away money from every paycheck, but what happens as we get closer to retirement or even retire? Another question is, how do you protect your nest egg during a bear market that will inevitably come roaring back? Now, to help answer those questions, we call on XP Award-winning retirement specialist Peter LaLiberty from Liberty Advisory Group. Now, Peter, how can we protect our nest egg from a bear market?
Well, that's a great question, Steve. The simple answer is don't be in the market with some of your portfolio. That's the only way to protect against market losses, either you're in or you're not. So we always say a portion, certainly, of your portfolio should be designed to not have any market risk, to produce as much income as you possibly can in retirement, and to have at least 5 years of planned income with part of your portfolio not in the market. So how do we do that? And the answer is to have a plan, a written plan that you understand, that we have immediate, short-term, and long-term funds. So what we're offering today to the first 20 people who call in is a couple things. One is a complimentary meeting with us to try and build a plan for you. We'll also offer a retirement plan MRI. Now let's figure out what you have. The market has corrected. We don't know which way it's going to go, but we need to have a plan for that. And the last thing is we'll talk about Social Security, and I'll provide you with the 2019 Social Security cheat sheet just for coming in to see us.
What a great opportunity, Peter. Give us a call right now, 888-508-2119. You heard, Peter, the next 20 calls, 888-508-2119. Or you can simply text the word LIBERTY to 21000. That's LIBERTY to 21000.
After the long summer, your air conditioning and heat pump have been worked to the max. You'll want to make sure you have your system checked when the weather gets cool. Schneider Air Conditioning should be your first call for your preventive maintenance needs. Why choose another air conditioning company when you can choose Schneider? You can count on Schneider to properly clean and check your system. There's a big difference between checking your system and cleaning your system. Cleaning your system will extend the life of your air conditioning unit and will also save you money on your electric bill. And right now, with 100% financing available with approved credit, there's never been a better time to upgrade your system. Snyder Air Conditioning is proud to be an Amana A-plus dealer and can fix and service any make or model. Snyder Air Conditioning is Jacksonville's number one residential air conditioning company and has been serving Jacksonville for over 40 years. Snyder Air Conditioning. Call today at 641-0600. Snyderman and Amana. License number CAC 1813307.
Sunny today and a high of 69. This evening it's going to be cold. Overnight the low, 38. Right now it's 56 at WBOB.
contact The Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbob.com.
If you had to ask, what is one of the most important things that should be, I understand colleges, but should be taught in our high schools, we've talked about this, is financial literacy. Correct, Roger?
Yeah, absolutely.
Talk about how the Rule 72 works, talk about how to balance a checkbook, all of that. The late Dorothy Hooker, who I knew quite well, was a Senate Republican down in the Ormond Beach area. Now the Republicans are looking to pass a bill that would require high school students to take a financial literacy courses. Under the bill, students entering ninth grade beginning in 2019 will be required to earn one half credit in personal literacy and money management, such as balancing checkbooks, completing loan applications, and computing interest rates. Well, wait. Why do I want to teach them how to complete loan applications? If the whole goal of them is to have financial literacy, maybe they don't want to get into that loan.
Exactly. Not to teach the kids how to get into debt, probably not the smartest thing.
Yeah. Why have we not been doing this?
Yeah, it's a good question. We should have been doing this all along.
Times Union comes out and heavily criticizes, as they say, takes aim at Marilyn and Curry. They kind of take aim at, because the Times Union is not a big fan of Sheriff Mike Williams. But yet, some people have been texting me today saying, Ed, there's a name that they mention in the article that no one else has mentioned, the reason why we're not getting criminals off the street and possibly dropping crime. Who is that person? 222-TALK. 222-8255. Also, the topics we're going to talk about here in a few moments, the issue of hard liquor, not beer, but hard liquor on the same aisle where you could buy your cigarettes, your blueberry muffins, your Wheaties. They're bringing that bill back up again. It passed last year by one vote. Governor Rick Scott vetoed it. Target and Walmart and Topgolf say, no, you should be able, if you want to buy, it's called the Whiskey and Wheaties Bill. If you're going to buy your cereal for your kids in the same store or on the same aisle, why should you not be able to buy hard alcohol, hard liquor? Want to hear from you. And here's the question. I can't believe you're stumped. Why is it that Publix and Winn-Dixie oppose it?
I'm stumped. I'm sorry.
It's not that difficult. Why is it that they are against it? And they do you believe that we should have separate walls or separate building for hard liquor? I want to hear your analysis why at 222-TALK, 222-8255. So the question is, they say there's an hypocrisy that you can go to a local restaurant, order an appetizer, and get hard liquor. But why is it that you can go to Sam's Club or another area that has a small cafeteria and with your hot dog or burger, you can't have hard liquor? They say it's a double standard. Love to hear from you on the pros and cons of this issue. And why is it that Publix and Winn-Dixie are against these bills? Want to hear from you at 222-TALK, 222-8255. Again, don't forget, email address ed@wbob.com, ed@wbob.com.
Talk Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM. WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Americans from all walks of life remembering President George H.W. Bush. His body lies in state in the U.S. Capitol Rotunda. Tomorrow, there will be a state funeral at Washington National Cathedral. And word just in a short time ago that Britain's Prince Charles will be among those attending the state funeral. The French Prime Minister announcing a suspension of the fuel tax hike in a bid to appease a protest movement that plunged Paris into chaos last weekend. The planned increase, which has provoked violent riots, was set to be introduced in January. It will be suspended for 6 months. After sliding for the past few months, crude prices have pulled an about-face. Oil prices rose yesterday. On Wall Street, Dow futures down 110 points. NASDAQ futures off 45 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Good morning. On the East Beltway, 295 South at the Beach Boulevard exit, there has been an accident. on 95 South, just after US 1. Look out for a broken down car on the right and 10 West at Cecil Commerce Parkway. There's a truck that's having some engine trouble. Sunny conditions today and a high of 69. Tonight, clear and cold. Overnight, the low 38. Right now, it's 56 here at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Democrats in Congress are proposing a new Green Deal. This week, the Time Union goes after Mayor Lenny Curry on violent crime in Jacksonville. And the debate over where hard liquor can be sold in Florida is back on the table again.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed at wbob.com.
So I think Vice President Pence is right. I was raised to respect everyone's religious faith, and I fell short of that. I sincerely apologize for what I said.
Ah, Joy Behar. She's so milk lukewarm out there. 32 minutes after the hour, this got into a big spat. I know many of you have been talking about it already this morning. The email address at wbob.com. Where they pretty much had a big spat yesterday with Meghan McCain and Joy Behar, where they were pretty much wanted to compliment President Bush 41 on his life and career, and of course the media, and you knew where this was going. Joy Behar wanted to take a stab at Trump based on the policies of that of, you guessed it, President Bush, clip number three.
That was not picked up really, because as a candidate, he said, those who think we're powerless to do anything about the greenhouse effect are forgetting about the White House effect. And then he signed into law the Clean Air Act Amendment of 1990, one of the most sweeping environmental statutes ever.
I bet you she couldn't even tell you what was sweeping about that. It certainly swept a lot of money from the taxpayers' back pocket.
Yeah. This president that we have now is trying to unravel everything that he did and Obama did. And if I ever become a one-issue voter, it will be about pollution.
So McCain's like, hey, get over it. Can we talk about President Bush, please?
And the greenhouse effect. And
can
the
we
fact
focus
that,
on the president, please? I don't want to talk about Trump.
We're in the moment.
We're honoring a great president
in
his past.
Excuse me a second, please. I want to talk about the
difference. Honoring, but I'm not interested in your one issue.
I don't care what you're interested in. I'm talking.
Well, I don't care what you're interested in either.
We'll be right. This is great for talk radio. Dean Roger Henderson, more as we continue to move along. The Times Union, never a big fan of Sheriff Mike Williams, who had his kickoff this past Sunday for re-election. Mayor Lenny Curry is also running for re-election. The Times Union really went after Mayor Lenny Curry by saying that he's not done enough on crime. All he's done is paid lip service. He went after Mayor Alvin Brown, and yet crime may have been going down this year, violent crime, but over the tenure of Mayor Lenny Curry, it has gone up, according to the FDLE. News 4 Jax, Jim Pickett.
Continues. A survey by the Florida Times Union concludes violent crime here in Jacksonville has become worse in the past 3 years since Sheriff Mike Williams and Mayor Lenny Curry took office.
On Sunday, the Florida Times Union published this article, taking aim at the sheriff and the mayor, saying despite spending more money, violent crime is increasing based on the latest numbers from...
Did you hear that? Despite spending more money, violent crime is on the rise.
Okay. Mm. The Florida Department of Law Enforcement. Here at News for Jax, we track homicides and murders as well. And our numbers show that murders are actually down this year. In 2014, the last year that Mayor Alvin Brown was in office, there were 93 murders. In 2015, Mayor Curry and Sheriff Williams' first year, 96 murders. In 2016, that went up to 108. Last year, another increase of 118 murders. So far this year, with 1 month left, 91. We've watched as the mayor and sheriff budgeted more money and began a series of programs to fight crime. The sheriff's department makes up about 36% of the city budget, more than any other department.
And yet, crime it was going down underneath Alvin Brown, went up under Mayor Lenny Curry. So what they're saying is, depending on how you want to look at it, Sheriff Mike Williams and Mayor Lenny Curry say, well, wait a second, violent crime is down this year. But yet, according to the Times Union, wait a second, guys, since your tenure, it's been up all around. So the question I've been asking here, because of some of the emails I've received at ed at wbob.com, does the mayor, now be careful, because I may be tricking you here in a fun way, does Mayor Lenny Curry deserve any type of criticism if crime goes up? Did he not campaign against that against Alvin Brown back in 2015?
Yeah, that was his basic his campaign mantra, especially the latter part of his campaign. Alvin Brown needs to go because crime has gone up. Look at all these murders, and then.
But if crime goes down, the mayor will take credit for it.
Exactly.
And so was Sheriff Mike, and I like Sheriff Mike Williams
now,
as well.
Now, in fairness to Mike Williams, I do not recall hearing him bash Alvin Brown or any of his predecessors in government prior to him running. Curry, on the other hand, did.
Well, he couldn't have. The guy he worked for.
Yeah.
John Rutherford. But the question is, does Mayor Lenny Curry deserve any blame for violent crime going up over his tenure? 222-8255. There's been a name that has been thrown in the mix. They have said, some cops out there have said this, some of the emails I've received this morning. There's one person that was in that article by the Times Union that deserves blame that has not been doing enough. That is the state attorney's office, Melissa Nelson.
Hmm.
According to the article, which we have here, this is from the Times Union. It says that Lieutenant Chris Brown, an agency spokesperson, says it was important to note that before the sheriff's office makes an arrest, it relies on the state's attorney's office to sign off on a warrant. Why is that? Well, since July 2015, Sheriff Williams, according to the article, 321 murders have happened, only 90 murder arrests. Now, I'm not throwing – I know that the Times Union endorsed Melissa Nelson, picked her. My question is, does the mayor get any blame? Does Mike Williams get any blame? Does Melissa Nelson get any blame? Because everybody's looking out for their own selves, every man or female for themselves. They say that she's not doing enough when it comes to warrants.
Interesting. Yeah, I did not see the article, but I did speculate, and I didn't want to let the cat out of the bag, that it may have been Melissa Nelson that they were talking about. Her predecessor, Angela Corey, been one of her biggest criticisms was that she was too harsh on crime, especially youthful offenders. So, you know, maybe the public is having buyer's remorse a little bit. I don't know. I'm asking.
Here, Sheriff Mike Williams, he says, hey, we're going in the right direction.
Violent crime is down. I mean, we've had some high-profile events in the community, obviously, that raise the profile, and that gets the conversation going, and it doesn't take away from any of that. Those issues are tragic issues. But when we look at an overall trend, where are we as a community heading? We feel very strongly we're headed in the right direction.
This year you are, yeah. But I mean, the overall, again, under their tenure, violent crime, according to the FDLE, and the murder rate has gone up.
We're always going to have the bad day, the bad weekend, but we got to stay focused on the work.
Now, we got to stay focused on the work. I don't think the sheriff has any problem. He's a good guy, like Mike Williams. I don't think he has any problem anybody credibly running against him.
Yeah.
I think Marilyn Curry, according to this, he's nothing to worry about. Whether you agree with Anna Lopez Brochet or not, and I think many of you would agree that she was probably wrong on the taken down statue, and she was probably wrong on the HRO. And Anna's a nice lady. She has a good, great poker face. Does Anna Brochet, if she makes the announcement, and her clock, they think, is winding down, does she have a valid chance against Marilyn Curry? She's very popular.
You know what?
Whether you agree with it or not, I'm just saying.
I actually think she does have a chance.
Really?
Yeah. You never can tell. Who would have thought, for example, in the recent elections we had that Andrew Gillum would end up becoming the Democratic nominee? So
right.
If that can happen, certainly Anna Brochet could become mayor of Jacksonville if she runs a strong campaign.
So the question is, let me ask this one more time. Some of you have been emailing me. Does Mayor Lenny Curry deserve any blame? Let me ask Sheriff Mike Williams, is that? I get along with all these people. Melissa Nelson, not doing enough search warrants out there. Do those three, or does one of them, because he is the CEO of the city, do they get any blame? That's what it is. The CEO always gets the hit, Roger. Ask Karen Morgan.
Ed's looking in my face. You know what? I think probably, in my opinion, the most honest answer, and of course the listener's opinion is what really counts, is that, to be frank with you, the politicians can't stop the crime, and I know you like to hear with the here and now. But
Rudy Giuliani was able to do it. Bill Clinton was able to do it. Jeb Bush was able to do it.
Yeah.
Violent crime over throughout the state of Florida is going down.
I wish
Jacksonville's going in the reverse role.
I wish there was some way we could take the people who are these violent criminals and just get them out of the town. Let them leave
the city.
Well,
I think we could do that.
Let them go somewhere else.
So here's, I get it, it's kind of a softball, but let me tell you where I'm leading with this, because this is the emails I'm getting. A lot of people out there, I don't know if you're Democrats or Republicans, I'm not asking you, but does Mayor Lenny Curry get the blame for crime going up? Or have we not had it long enough? Because if that's the case, then Andrew Gillum is owed an apology by conservatives. That's what some of you are saying this morning. Because remember, one of the biggest attacks by Ron DeSantis was about the high crime. Again, there may be a different type of legislative body between, I think there is between Jacksonville and Tallahassee. I get that. But it is the title. We all play politics with this. Spending underneath Governor Rick Scott has gone up by, what, 20% maybe since he's been governor. When he came into office, it's 69. The budget's now at 87. If this had been a Democrat, we would have been throwing them under the bus.
I can argue that, yes, maybe it was not necessarily accurate for Curry 4 years ago to blame Alvin Brown on crime. Because first of all...
Well, that's if you're going to go down the road that the mayor can take
the
blame.
The mayor's not law enforcement. I mean, it's the sheriff's job to enforce the law, FDLE, FBI, whoever. The mayor, all they can do is, you know, sign budgets use the bully pulpit.
Right, but I have callers that are calling this morning, people that I like, that are saying they're trying to play the differences between the Republican and the Democrat here. Mm-hmm. You can't do that. You've got to be consistent. That's all I'm just asking. I'm not saying that Gillum's out in endorsement. I'm saying is to a lot of the emails and text messages I got this morning from listeners is that if this is the case, that if you're not going to sit back and say that Mayor Lanny Curry, again, their words, not mine, mm-hmm. that if Mayor Lanny Curry should not be able to take the responsibility, then the Republicans owe Andrew Gillum an apology for going after him for the high crime in Tallahassee.
Yeah. I don't, however, believe that high crime in Tallahassee was why Gillum lost.
Okay.
I do believe it's why Alvin Brown lost.
Hold on. But I agree. Or it was how it was portrayed.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the areas the reason why. And then we have callers going, well, you know, Andrew Gillum was running for governor. So Lenny Curry, big deal. What does that have to do with anything? That's like saying, well, that he wants to be CEO of the state. Well, by using that analysis, that means that if there's a crime that takes place in South Florida or another mass shooting in Parkland, Florida, does that mean you blame the CEO of the state? That means Rick Scott?
Yeah, Rick Spott.
I would never say that.
Yeah. You can't say Rick Scott responsible for Parkland.
Do you blame Barack H. Obama for the mass shootings of Gerald Loeffner over in Colorado and Gabrielle Giffords in Arizona and the Newtown shooting? I don't blame Barack Obama at all.
Absolutely not.
I don't blame Barack Obama for what took place with Antifa. As long as I don't blame Donald Trump for what happened in Charlottesville. The individual and the group surrounding that have to be given a responsibility. And unfortunately, and I'm, you know where I stand politically, I think unfortunately we try to play the partisan game too much here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just asking a question. I'm not accusing the mayor of anything.
You make a good point. Certain things need to be off the partisan table, and then crime, all of us want to have lower crime.
So how do you make the excuse then that, again, it was right to go after Alvin Brown, crime is a top-tier issue, But over the tenure of Mayor Lenny Curry, it's gone up. Does that mean he should get a pass? I mean, is Lenny Curry probably doing more than Alvin Brown? I think there are a lot of people that would say yes, he's trying to get more accomplished.
Yeah.
Then that should be talked about more. But instead of trying to cut a check for blinded communities and like Reggie Gaffney, the city council person that wants to promise, he says, you call my phone number, I'm going to guarantee you a dang job. I mean, how does that turn around crime out there? So that's my question to you at 222-TALK. 904-222-8255. Does Mayor Lenny Curry deserve the blame for crime overall, even though it's going down this year, for 1 year? That's what that's also what Andrew Gillum said is last year. Does he get the blame for that? And is that, I want to ask you, I want to know what your opinion is. Is that a fair assumption that if Andrew Gillum, why don't I get this too mixed up for? If Andrew Gillum, they're Democrats, if Andrew Gillum is to be blamed for the high crime in Tallahassee, then why is Mayor Lenny Curry getting a free pass? Where is those that are telling me that, where are they wrong? 222-TALK, 904-222-8255, Talk Radio, WBOB.
On I-295 South at Beach Boulevard, we're looking at an accident involving at least three cars on 295 South at St. Augustine Road. There's another accident and 10 going east at Lane Avenue. Traffic is busy this morning.
Internal Revenue Service. When you owe a personal or business tax debt and can't pay, just hearing those three words brings feelings of fear and anxiety. I'm Jonathan David Suryash, Managing Tax Attorney at J. David Tax Law. Everyone knows that if you owe the IRS and don't pay, it's only a matter of time before tax liens, wage garnishments, or bank levies happen to you. The first step to resolution is our no-cost consultation. We take the time to go through your specific tax problem step by step. We explain exactly what your options are and how we will resolve your tax issue. J. David Tax Law is a local firm right here in Jacksonville, where only an experienced tax attorney will represent you. Our fee payment plans are affordable for everyone. If you have tax problems, call us now for a no-cost consultation at 904-507-4777. That's 904-507-4777, or find us on the web at jdavidtaxlaw.com. That's jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
Grassroots Natural Market in Fleming Island is now offering CBD oil. If you haven't learned about the benefits of CBD oil, well, now is the time. Numerous medical studies have shown that CBD oil reduces nausea, eases inflammation, suppresses seizure activity, combats depression, and much more. Grassroots Natural Market in Fleming Island. Fresh, all-natural foods, name-brand vitamins and supplements, and now they're stocking CBD oil. Grassroots Natural Market in Fleming Island. Eat healthy, live healthy. Call 541-0009. That's 541-0009.
The first thing you're going to have to learn is that until you stop expecting our politicians or anyone else to change your life isn't going to change. The only person going to change your life is you, but you need to know how.
Want to learn how? Meet Del Walmsley's Lifestyles Unlimited team and get your map to retirement in 5 years or less. Saturday, December 15th from noon to 4 at the Doubletree by Hilton Grand Hotel Biscayne Bay. Attend for free. Register at retireinfiveyearsorless.com. That's retireinfiveyearsorless.com. Limited seating, unlimited potential. Register today at retireinfiveyearsorless.com.
Sunny today with the high in the upper 60s. This evening's going to be clear and cold. Overnight, the low 38. Right now, it's 56 at WBOB.
Laura Ingram, next at 9. Now back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on Talk Radio AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. The debate over where hard liquor can be sold in Florida is back on the table again. Democrats in Congress are proposing a new Green Deal. And this week, the Times Union goes after Mayor Lenny Curry on violent crime in Jacksonville.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed at wbob.com.
One of the big issues, Roger, that we've talked about this year, of course, as you know, state session, legislature's not going to be up till March, but everybody's filing bills right now. There's a big move, and I still ask the question out there, why is it that, again, and I'm not a drinker, I'm not advocating this, but there's a question that's being thrown around, that why is it you cannot buy hard liquor on the same aisle where you can buy your Wheaties? There's a bill called the Whiskey and Wheaties Bill, which was passed last year by one vote by the Republican-led legislature, but vetoed by Governor Rick Scott. Walmart and Target are for this. Publix and Winn-Dixie are against it. Why? I know why. I want to know what you guys know. Why is Publix and Winn-Dixie against allowing, in other words, why should you have to go buy your hard liquor in a separate building? By the way, you know how far this bill goes back to? Depression era, 1930s.
Interesting.
Why is it that you should have to be buying your alcohol in a separate, your hard alcohol in a separate building than when you buy normal alcohol?
Can I take a guess at it?
Yeah.
Would it be because the Publix grocery store, Winn-Dixie, hire teenagers to work the cash registers?
No.
No, it's not.
Got nothing to do with that. Yeah, this whole argument, well, the teenagers, that argument doesn't hold anymore, folks.
Okay.
Because when I was in high school, the people that were buying you the alcohol were not the people that were underage. It was your older brothers and sisters and the people that were of age.
Well, I'm talking about the workers, the employees at the grocery store.
Not because of that.
Okay.
Very simple answer.
I didn't know if there was a legal requirement.
Very simple answer to that. 222-TALK, 222-8255. According to Jake Stefan from News 4 Jax, they think they might have found a loophole in this measure.
Court ruling. For years, state lawmakers have tried to pass the so-called Whiskey and Wheaties Bill.
Traditional liquor stores have fought efforts by bigger companies to sell hard liquor.
For at least the past 5 years, dozens of lobbyists have worked lawmakers to allow the sale of alcohol in big box stores instead of a separate storefront. Last year, it passed by one vote, but was then vetoed by Governor Rick Scott. Trying a new strategy, Walmart and Target turned to an administrative law judge, successfully challenging a rule that defined items customarily sold in restaurants. The way the rule had been applied prohibited them from acquiring consumption on premises licenses, which, if granted, would allow them to sell liquor in their main store.
So what the loophole they've set back and said is, Roger, they can go to a local establishment here in the city of Jacksonville, could just get fish and chips.
Okay.
get an appetizer, get a little salad, and you can have hard alcohol with that salad.
At a restaurant.
What they're saying is why is it that I can't go to some Walmarts? Some Walmarts have their own little I know Sam's does. Their own little cafeteria area.
Most of the Walmarts I see, they lease out space to places like Subway
right.
and McDonald's.
But they still have that. But, I mean, you go to Sam's. Mm-hmm. And what Jake Stefan is reporting is that some of the lobbyists that are in favor of Target and not Publix and Winn-Dixie, but Target and Walmart and Topgolf, by the way, that when you play golf and you want to chew on a sandwich, you should be able to have not a beer but hard alcohol. They're also saying at Sam's Clubs, for example, they sell beer. Why is it that they should not be able to sit down at a Sam's establishment, have a hot dog, a bag of chips, and hard alcohol?
Is there a difference between having a beverage, an alcoholic beverages that you drink then at the moment in the food court versus a bottle that you bring home later?
What's the point? Well, I don't drink. I'm just saying, what's the difference?
You're not drinking it in the store / restaurant.
No, you should be able to have one there is what they're saying.
Yeah.
Here's what lobbyists for the lawyers, he's actually a lawyer for Walmart, Target, and Topgolf, Will Spicola said.
Anybody can go to these places and see that they're selling stuff that's not hot and cold food and beverages.
Right.
A lot of these big box retailers have restaurants, they have concession areas where they're selling food and drink to their patrons. There could be an opportunity there for them to get a license to sell things just like every other restaurant does.
So the question is, should we keep this law in effect? I love to hear from you at 222-TALK, 222-8255. Should we keep this law in effect that you've got to go to a separate building to buy your hard liquor, like you see at Publix? They already have it around the areas of Walmart. Or should you be able to buy, as they call whiskeys and this, whatever the bill's called, whiskey and whiskeys.
And Wheaties.
Wheaties. Yeah. Should you be able to buy all of your products, your deodorant? By the way, you never put deodorant. I understand deodorant and food on the same aisle because of chemicals and stuff. But nor do you get them bagged in the same bag either. But the question is, should you be able to buy your cereal and your hardcore alcohol on the same aisle? Or this is a 1935's Depression era law, or should they be separate? Want to hear from you. 222-TALK, 222-8255. And by the way, why is it that when Dixie and Publix are against separating the two, they want it separated, but Walmart and Target want this together? What is your answer to that? 222-TALK, 904-222-8255. Some of you have been emailing me, hey, Ed, when I go into a store, I don't want to be in the same aisle when I buy my cereal with my young kids after church and have hard liquor there because it's a bad image in front of my kids. Okay? But you can also go in the water aisle and across from there in the next aisle, you could buy beer. What's the difference? Some of you are saying, hey, Ed, this is just more regulations on shoppers out there. Again, why am I paying for an extra building? Why don't we just put everything together? That's from Robert. Here's one from Cynthia. I have kids. I am not a drinker. But Ed, I guess you could say maybe I'm a little libertarian on this issue. If you want to buy whiskey and Wheaties on the same aisle, it's the store. What should be against that? Let's go to Elizabeth. Elizabeth, good morning. You're on WVOB.
Hi, I wanted to say just as far as, like, if you're eating at a restaurant or something, like the food court, I think that it would be inappropriate for hard liquor. I can see having a beer there or a limit to some beers, but, like, as a drinker myself and somebody with kids, I don't want to see a bunch of people tying one on when I'm trying to get my groceries.
Why, look, for the audience out there, why would it be okay to have a beer instead of hard liquor?
I think that the alcohol content, I mean, on some states, when they sell their liquor off the shelf, it's a lower alcohol percentage.
Okay, but follow me. Let me ask a question. And again, I'm playing devil's advocate, Elizabeth. I'm not beating up on you. I just never had a taste for alcohol.
No, I understand.
What about the optics? I'm just saying, if you had to look at something a little bit more pleasant, would it be that glass of Chardonnay or that looking beer can that you see all the 300-pound guys with their stomach hanging out drinking all around the food court?
Yeah, Chardonnay is definitely more of an attractive drink, but the alcohol percentage in Chardonnay is like around 13%.
Okay.
A regular Budweiser beer is like 4.5%. You know, nobody's gonna get loopy off of 4.5%. And if you really do want to get, you know, a relaxing, you know, buzz or something, why would you want to do it in a
cafeteria of a freaking Costco.
Right. Well, I thank you for the call. What they're saying is, I think, is the consistency, Roger.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're saying. If we're going to allow it in other establishments, why can't we have it in these other establishments as well?
And I'm not an expert on this, but don't they dilute the hard liquor and turn it basically into the same alcohol percentage when they make the daiquiri? I don't know.
Let's go to Joshua. Joshua, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Morning, Ed. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Real quick, this whole thing with not selling alcohol on Sundays is the same thing to me, and it's humans being kind of ignorant, thinking they can mandate morality. God Himself didn't try to do that, and the same religious people. I'm not against religion, but I'm against legalism. It's the same attitude, in my opinion, that they think that they can. It's because it's Sunday. Oh, people go to church and alcohol. Well, what was Jesus' first miracle? You know, it's a little hypocritical.
Well, he never drank it. He might have turned, and there's a debate about what kind of wine it was, but he never drank it. That's the thing that many people don't realize. But I understand what you're talking about, Joshua, but Arthur, could not some ask the question, are there not certain levels of morality that should be enforced?
I agree with that. I mean, you can't legalize everything. I'm just saying this particular law, I think if you look at the history of it, it was, and if you go into any small town where, I grew up in a small town in Georgia like this.
Right.
And it took them years to, actually, I think it's still a dry county, actually, now that I think about it.
There's still some dry counties,
I understand. But local governments have the right to elect their officials and do what they want to do. I don't have a problem with that. I'm just saying it comes from that attitude that we need to have the optics that we're all these good people on Sunday.
All right. I appreciate that. He brings up a valid point, some would say, Roger. Is trying to impose morality. Want to hear from you. Thank you for the call, Joshua.
Every law tries to impose morality, but anyway.
222-TALK-222-8. I'm going to impose some environmental morality from the liberal left. Talk radio WBOB.
295 North 103rd Street. Look out for a crash there. And 95 South at 295. On the south end of town, there is a broken down car.
I'm Lou Dobbs. Qatar plans to pull out of OPEC. GlaxoSmithKline seals a multi-billion-dollar acquisition. And millennials turning their backs on tuna fish sandwiches. Those stories next.
Are you a timeshare owner that would like to get out of your timeshare the right way? Hi, I'm Karen, owner of Lone Star Transfer. Getting out of your timeshare is probably at the top of your to-do list for 2018. Now is the time to make the call to simplify your life. We have an excellent track record and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. So if you want to get rid of those high maintenance fees and annual bills for vacations you never take, call 844-284-4863 or visit us online at LoneStarTransfer.com. That's 844-284-4863. For over a decade, we have been working in timeshare owner advocacy to help those stuck in timeshares. Let us help you with a legal and ethical solution. Call us today for a private, no-obligation consultation. We will give you a solution that will get you out of your timeshare once and for all. Call 844-284-4863 or LoneStarTransfer.com. Satisfaction guaranteed.
Qatar says it's going to pull out of OPEC, the first time a Middle Eastern country has left OPEC since the cartel was founded back in 1960. This is the latest incident calling into question OPEC's power in the face of the president's restoration of America's role as a major exporter of energy. Drug maker GlaxoSmithKline, paying $5 billion, buying cancer drug maker Tesaro. Shares of Tesaro soared yesterday when the news was announced. Glaxo saying the deal will accelerate its oncology business. The Wall Street Journal reporting StarKist and Bumblebee are scrambling for new ways to market their products and to appeal to younger consumers. One study says the problem is simple. Many millennials don't own can openers. Please join me for Lou Dobbs tonight, 7 o'clock and 10 Eastern on the Fox Business Network. This is the Lou Dobbs Financial Report.
More as we continue to move along, 222-TALK, 222-8255. Caller says the morality issue by not having hard alcohol along with your food beverage, is that the right way to go? A lot more coming up next on Talk Radio WBOB.